Save big on everything for your next staining project when you shop at Menards. Transform your home in one weekend with exterior stain and sealer from Dutch Boy. It provides one coat protection on decks, fences, siding, and outdoor furniture, and repels rain after just 4 hours of application. That means quicker results, saving you both time and money. Check out our weekly flyer on Menards.com for more great deals happening this week. Save big money
at Menards. Live here on what is clearly a historic day in Washington, D.C. You know the facts by now, but I'll tell you, 1 million people marching down Pennsylvania Avenue.
What do your t-shirts say?
Never again.
Never again.
Never again.
And on
never
the back,
again.
We stand together.
The teenagers are teaching the adults, and hopefully we are all listening and absorbing and learning.
1 million people. Did I hear that right?
I heard it was 5 million.
Wait, so let me rub my ear. That's my ear. I'm rubbing it out. That doesn't sound right at all. I thought it was like closer to 200,000. For more on this, let's go to Joe Concha, media reporter for The Hill. Joe, what this media coverage this weekend of the March for Our Lives was, it seemed like they kind of liked all these protesters and their cause.
Well, look, I think when you have reporters and pundits that are agreeing completely and totally with the narrative, then as humans, it's hard to hide their emotions, and we certainly saw that. A couple things in the numbers. First, we heard that it was 800,000 in Washington. Then it was lowered to 400,000. Some estimates are lower than that. Then the new number came out that it was, well, across the country in other cities, it eclipsed more than 1 million marchers. So that's why I think the numbers are a little confusing.
As I recall, I believe you're not allowed to do that math, because remember when Trump, the president of the United States, said around the world they had a record viewership, they were tutted by the press. You're not allowed to lump in people who are outside of Washington, D.C. That doesn't count.
I always thought that was such a bad rap on Sean Spicer, because I understood what he was saying.
Yeah.
He was saying, you know, with streaming capabilities that didn't exist 8 years ago, so you could watch on your phones and you could watch internationally, but maybe you didn't have feeds before, that if you add up all those numbers, and it was impossible to completely calculate, maybe more people did watch it, and the press was so dishonest, they said, but look at the pictures. Not as many people attended this inauguration. Well, yeah, President Obama was an historic figure. Of course that had more people.
Yeah.
But they purposely left out what Spicer was trying to say, and then he never recovered, quite frankly. It was an uphill battle since then. But overall, as far as the marches, you know, some Parkland students were shut out who didn't perform or conform, I should say, to the desired narrative, right? Who thought there should be more focus on law enforcement failures, or maybe thought that we should concentrate on other solutions besides gun control. I think this is a very complex problem, having 25 fatal school shootings in elementary and high schools since Columbine, right? And maybe gun control, to a certain extent, more measures is one part of that solution, but there are other ones as well. Great ideas that I've heard, like, hey, if you're not on patrol, you're a police officer, technology allows now, if you're going to do paperwork, just position these police officers when they're not out on the road in schools, and then limit the entry points to two places. And this way, it's not really going to cost you anything, and maybe you don't completely stop the problem, because that's always the argument against. That won't stop things completely, but you help manage it a little bit more. It's like terrorism. Maybe you can't stop these things completely, but you manage it. And then there's other things as well, like, is law enforcement truly prepared to engage? In Maryland, 2 weeks ago, right, at Graham Mills, there was a resource officer there that stopped the shooter. Okay, that's good, but in Broward County in Parkland, you had four guys there who wouldn't engage and go into the schools. So we have to make sure that they're all properly trained. Overall, all those things could have been presented at this march for a comprehensive solution. Instead, we only got one, as if that will completely solve the problem.
And the media is complicit in this, obviously, as you know. But so here's the thing: it's getting worse and worse. I think this idea of media becoming propaganda, it has become more and more evident. At least it's out of the closet now. What can someone who doesn't work in the media, like we do, we're inundated with this every day. How does someone who's not inundated with this actually find the truth?
That's a very good question. I would just say it's like dating. Find somebody that you trust or an organization that you trust and go with that best you can. The good news is, if you're worried, like, well, yes, the media has become propaganda. All it's done, it's like, you know, on CNN, Stormy Daniels has been the new Malaysian air jet, you know, the missing plane, where that's
exactly
all they're exclusively covering, instead of missing some big stories or just pushing it to their digital side. That's always the excuse. We covered it, but it was on our digital side. Okay, well, people are still watching the network, clearly. But I look at Trump's poll numbers very closely. I don't cherry-pick polls. I go with the RCP, which is the Real Clear Politics average. And he's been trending upward for months now. And you say, well, how could that be with all the overwhelming coverage around Russia and chaos in the White House and Stormy Daniels? How is he going up? And I think the boomerang effect is happening with the Stormy Daniels, not to the extent that it did with Monica Lewinsky and Bill Clinton, where he ended up with a 65% approval rating when he left office. But it seems like people are seeing this and saying, guys, there's not really a story here. I mean, we didn't elect a choir boy. We elected a businessman from New York, from Queens, who loves to be in the public eye. I've grown up in New York, and I've lived here for 40 years. And I can tell you, the New York Post and the Daily News, 80s, 90s, and last decade, there would be an item on Donald Trump's personal life seemingly every other day. So people knew what they were getting when they voted for him. And for him to have sex with a porn star just isn't quite newsworthy. You can say, well, yeah, but she was threatened. Okay, do we know she was threatened? Because she didn't go to the police afterwards when a man approached her in a Las Vegas parking lot and said to her daughter, it would be a shame that something happened to her mother. If that was my wife, she would have ran to the police in 2 seconds. So that doesn't help her story. I'm not saying it didn't happen, but it doesn't help her story. And then you have her lawyer out there teasing discs on Twitter saying, here's a smoking gun, basically. And then he has 22 million people watching 60 Minutes, and he doesn't present it. Says, oh, we're saving it for another time. Why? You had a great platform. So I think people see all that, and Americans are smart enough to say, you know what, I just don't think, unless you present something else, there's anything here, and I almost feel sympathy for the president.
Yeah. You know, you mentioned how CNN covered the Malaysian airliner. It turns out Stormy Daniels' career was a black hole until all of this coverage. Like, she's, like, all of a sudden taking off. Like, you can subscribe online. You can see her naked at any point now. And wait a second. What is this all about? Because it seems like she's just pursuing a bunch of sustainers in order to make her career flourish, which it is now. And she's getting a huge in-kind assist from the press, which was it's just willing to run on even thin evidence. I mean, look, Anderson Cooper did a good job of pointing out the following thing. She has three times signed public documents declaring that none of this happened with Donald Trump. And yet now their insistence is, well, that was a lie. She was lying then, but now she's telling the truth.
Right. It's whatever you want it to be, right? And look, I thought Anderson Cooper, as far as taking on Michael Avenatti, the lawyer, and bringing up the fact, because a lot of people didn't know this before, that he's worked for 150 Democratic campaigns. He was an operative. He worked for Rahm Emanuel. So, yes, there is a political aspect to this. So maybe as far as agenda, that's something that should be talked about as well. But I just wonder where the story now goes from here. What do we do? But either way, this is being treated again as a huge story, but it's not going to move the needle one bit. If anything, well, somehow Trump benefits a little bit because people see how ridiculous.
Actually, this sounds a lot like the Russia investigation in this way. Remember, the allegation was first collusion, and then it moved to obstruction of justice. Which is like it's a process crime. It's the same thing as happening with the Stormy Daniels story. It arises as a story of an affair, maybe something that involves sexual assault. We don't know, and then we find out actually it was consensual. Now it's moving to a process crime. Did they wrongfully use campaign money to silence her? This moves in whatever direction it needs to in order for the president to look bad.
The pivot to the negative. It's a term that I've come to embrace. In the last years, though, as far as watching media coverage of this. And once again, you mentioned consensual. You're right. And what's baked into the cake here is the fact that you could go back to FDR and then to Eisenhower and Kennedy and Johnson and Bush 41 and Clinton, and they all either had affairs that were completely and totally proven and that they've admitted to, or they were accused, and there's a lot of circumstantial evidence around it. Either way, I think the American people have accepted the fact that powerful people, particularly presidents, have affairs. In Bill Clinton's case, apparently he's been accused of non-consensual affairs, mm-hmm. and that was ignored, obviously, because of the D next to his name. What can we say? I mean, Donald Trump is Donald Trump, and as long as he keeps moving ahead with an agenda and gets things done, all the noise around him I'm seeing isn't having the effect that I think the media would like it to have.
Well, Joe, the D after the name usually means disqualified from scrutiny. Thank you, Joe.
Well played, Vince.
Joe Concha.
Publishing with those sort of analogies. I love it.
Joe Concha, thank you as always. Really appreciate it, sir.
All right, guys. Thanks.